Howdy and welcome. My name is Mike. Welcome to the podcast. And today's podcast will have neither rhyme nor reason. We're going to call this, we're going to harken back to the early days of this podcast. We're going to call this free-floating hostility. And it's anything but hostile. And in case you're new, this is a photography podcast where we rarely talk about photography, especially on days like today. Now, start this off with a grain of sand, because someone was being nice, and I appreciate that. I got a knock on the door. First I got a beep. Somebody pulls up in front of your house and beeps. It's best that they know you're coming. But I get a beep. I'm in bed and I can look out the window and see that there's someone parked outside. I go to the door and it's a lady and her husband, guy in a really nice cowboy hat, offered. I said, "Hey, are you hungry? Do you need some food? We have food." So, thank you. But no, I'm a traveling photographer. I'm okay. I appreciate the offer, though, and you guys have a nice day. And then they got in the car and they rode off. And I thought, "Why? That's nice. That's really nice of them to, you know, do something that nowadays would seem almost un-American." And I'm talking about being nice. And I really appreciate that. I think that's a good thing. On the other side of the coin, it just kind of proves my point about folks and what they think. Now, I'll preface this by saying I don't really care. I've long since given up caring what people think of me. I grew up with the name Michael Jackson in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, so that conditioning was beat out of me decades ago. But it is fun to watch. It is quite fun to watch folks feeling self-conscious, which, if they knew the definition of the term, that actually starts with the definition of the term, self-conscious. I'm not uncomfortably self-conscious. I'm rather self-confident, and I don't have much in that arena. You know what I mean? And I'm not concerned with other people's thoughts on what I'm wearing or what my face looks like or what kind of car I drive or what kind of clothes I wear. I could not care less about what people think of me. That's why when I made the decision to do the hashtag van life, I didn't buy a van. See what I'm saying? Nowadays, if you have an RV, you're homeless. Yeah, you're destitute. You're being chased around town by society and the police and getting high on meth and all that stuff, which that couldn't be further from the truth. It couldn't. It honestly couldn't be any further from the truth, because it's just not what goes on in here. This is a lot of TikTok photo editing, contract chasing, cleaning, cooking, piling dirty laundry, reorganizing gear, fixing gear, writing contracts, cleaning off desks, taking self-portraits, anything but what you actually think is going on in here. But then that's how we think, at least here in this country. We go by 99% of what things look like. Because if I was in a Sprinter van, if I was in $80,000 in debt because I wanted to live hashtag van life, there would have never been a knock on my door with a truck with a plastic tote full of food. Not once. Not once. And even less if I was a white female with blonde hair in yoga pants. That's our society. Look at the ratings for TikTok, for YouTube. Search solo female van life on any of the platforms, and guess what you're going to find? White, female, yoga pants, thin, blonde hair. What you won't find is Hispanic, normal-bodied, black, Asian, anything else. You will not find anything else until you scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll all the way down to the bottom, and then you'll see my videos, and then you'll see everybody else's videos who, where they might wear yoga pants, but maybe they're not thin. They might have blonde hair, but they're not white. And that's what the platforms push. The algorithm is legitimately, literally, programmed to respond to pale skin and to push down anything that is not pale skinned. And very likely programmed for accents too, because the way I talk is not the popular way. But then again, America is going to have to get used to this. Because to live in Manhattan, to live in Sacramento, to live in San Francisco, to live in LA, to live in Dallas, to live in Fort Worth, to live in Miami, to live in Freehold, New Jersey, to live in Red Bank, to live in Staten Island, to live in all these popular places, you have to make a choice. Are you going to pay $2,500 a month, $3,500 a month? Are you going to buy a house that is $1.5 million? I saw a house on TikTok in Lancaster, California, wherever the heck that is. I think it was Lancaster. $1.1 million. For a house that was a time capsule, which is, I don't know, kind of cool. If I had $1 million, I may actually get into it. But it was a time capsule house where nothing had been changed since the house was built. Washer, dryer, cabinets, floors, furniture, door handles, door hinges, appliances. Everything was original from 1950 whatever. And it was beautiful house. You know, but it was $1.1 million plus financing fees, plus closing costs, plus unexpected initial repairs that they lied to you about, and more financing fees and taxes, divided by 30 years. Let me ask you a question. What are the chances that you're going to live 30 years from now? It's 2020, so that's 2030, 2040, 2050. What are the chances that you are going to live to 2050, 2060? What are the chances that you'll live till 2050 and be able to enjoy your $1.1 million investment during your retirement, where they're going to cut your Social Security to nothing, where you will have to fight for your 401k, where you will see 30% of your initial of your retirement investment at best. Now, I said all that to say this. America, you're going to have to get used to the mobile
living. I'm fine. I've got plenty of food. I've got 200 pounds of rice. I need to go get more vegetables. I got a refrigerator, a toilet, a stove, and I'm okay. I burned through all my propane. And if anybody who knows anything about propane, please talk to me about this. Because if I didn't know any better, and I've only been doing propane for 2 years. I grew up in apartment complexes in New Jersey. And I didn't know nothing about propane. But one thing I do know about propane is propane is programmed with nanobots to always go empty 2 o'clock in the morning. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. I have never had a can of propane go bad at 10 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Not once. To the point where there's an onboard propane tank on my RV. And then I went out and bought $140 extra propane tank just because I know that that sucker, the one that's underneath, is going to go empty in the middle of the night, and I'm going to have to go turn the valve on for the spare tank. And also, I have the spare tank, so I don't have to move the RV all the time to go get propane, because at the time we had more cars and whatnot. It's a longer story and a longer book. But propane is programmed, and I'm sure of this, in my crazy little head, to go empty only 3 o'clock in the morning. Tell me I'm wrong. But back to the point. Had I been in a Sprinter van, a very, very highly mechanically unreliable Sprinter van, I wouldn't have to deal with half of the pity parade that I have to deal with now. And I'm thankful for people who care that much about me, who think that we are this homeless, helpless family living in an abandoned RV. And that's just not the case. We made this plan 4 years ago. So the plan's coming to fruition. The only thing we didn't plan for in 2017, when I started this business, was that when we moved back to New Mexico, that 10 days later, the world would go on lockdown. So the pandemic added 3 years to the first year of my business. And that is exactly how I'm going to put it from now on. The pandemic added 3 years to the first year of my business. I don't know. That somehow makes me feel better knowing that. So I had to lay low. We literally had to lay low and eat. I mean, we burned through savings. I had bought a car that was something that would have gotten fixed up along the way, 93 Volvo, which was my last ditch effort to get back on the racetrack. And that actually became such a burden that I had to get rid of it. And with a very low cash flow, you know, the savings and so forth and so on, I couldn't rightfully justify blowing $20,000 on a track car, which is likely the end product, is about $20,000. You know, if there was a significant cash flow, if the world was as it was, and I was selling pictures as I could have been, yeah, no problem. I dumped the money into it. But it got to the point where, not in my finances, but in the pandemic, where I said, you know what? As a business choice, I got to get rid of this car. I sold it for the same $300 that I paid for it. And it was gone, just like that. Then I went full, I went a whole hog van life, because now I'm driving this giant RV everywhere. It's only 28 feet. It's not that big. But that's you know, that's where we are. And that's what I see. You know, we were doing van life before it was a hashtag as a plan. The popularity of TikTok took off around the time that we bought our, around the time we were about to get rid of our first RV, a little 18 foot thing where we were just getting our feet wet, trying to figure out what was going on. And I've always been at the frame of mind where we're not going to spend $200,000 and break stuff and not know how to take care of stuff and maybe even not even be able to do it. So it was just, it just made sense. Our first one was $500. Our second one was $7,000. It just made sense to start small. Just like your first car. Start small. And that's where we are today. But it just, I don't know. I have to fight that battle. I have to die on that sword quite frequently. But like I said, I don't particularly care what people think. I've been in conversations with groups of people where one person is blatantly lying about my situation in my life. Blatantly lying to a group of people in front of me about why I'm in an RV. And I don't know. I don't say anything. I don't care. They can believe whatever they want to believe. You know, but I understand that if I was driving some $250,000 Class A with slides and all that stuff, you know, okay, maybe they would be more comfortable with it. But they'd probably still want me to buy a house. Probably still want me to buy, rent some apartment for another $300,000, because I did the math. I've spent well over $300,000 in rent that I will never see again. Maybe they would feel more comfortable if I was subletting or roommating with somebody, but I'm not. I don't have to. Because I have a home. And I didn't buy into the van life, the Transit Mercedes Sprinter van life thing, because I knew it was ridiculous from the onset. Why would you spend that much money and get in that much debt for those shit vans? And they are shit vans. I worked in the funeral industry for 25 years. I've been buying work trucks for the longest time. And those Ford Transit vans are notoriously shit. The Sprinter vans, they're Mercedes, so no. If you lived in Europe, okay, fine. If you live in Europe and the Sprinter vans, the diesel, and the parts are dirt cheap and blah, blah, blah. But one thing you will find out is the same thing I found out when I bought a Mercedes. I bought a C230, the short wheelbase one, the last one that they used in British Touring Class. The spark plugs are $20 a pop. Your insurance goes up $600 a year because it has the name Mercedes. Why would you do that? Because you don't look homeless. That's why. Because you're self-conscious. Because you care what everybody else thinks of you. But here's the plan. I don't give a shit what you think about me. Not you in particular, but anyone in general. And I'm not stupid enough to get caught. You know, I was a car guy. I am a car guy. So I know better than to buy some foreign truck with expensive parts and a brand name that maybe makes people feel better about you living in a tiny van. And I was smart enough to know that with three people, a Sprinter van is going to wreak havoc on a family. It's too small. It's way too small. I have a full shower with a little bit of, it's got like a tiny tub in it, which I tried once. I don't know, it kind of sucks. But nobody really takes baths anymore. What am I, 90? Am I one of the golden girls? It was a full shower. 250 gallons of water. I have a separate toilet with a sink, a hallway, enough room to lay on the floor and watch TV, a full refrigerator, oven, stove. There's sections up front where you can get away from everybody. You can give yourself some separation. I got a bed. You know, we're good. We're really honestly good. But I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. You know, I'm just a black guy from New Jersey. So what do I know? I do know one thing. I'm comfortable. I'm warm. I'm cozy. Except when I'm recording a podcast and I got to turn off the heat because the fan makes a ton of noise into the microphone. But then you can feel that cold air kind of creeping in on you. That's probably the only downside is when you got to record a podcast. So if you don't record a podcast, then you really won't have any problems. But on that note, I am looking at the next RV. And the next RV is I didn't want to have to build an RV this early into my business because it is a distraction. But the next RV is going to be a C40LF city van, city bus. You know the buses, the regular everyday transit buses? They raffle those off for a raffle? What am I, 90? they auction these things off on eBay and whatever, and they're like anywhere from $2,000 to $7,000, maybe $8,000. They're not expensive at all. I'm not ready personally, mentally, to build an RV. You know, I knew I was going to build an RV one day, and I thought it was going to be one of the double decker buses, but the double decker buses have a suspiciously high roof. They get hideous gas mileage, and they're over 14 feet tall in most cases, which makes them, kind of illegal-ish for American roads, because most overpasses are 14 feet too. Now you see the problem. Double decker would have been hot, but no. I think I'm going to have to pass on that. So life doesn't give a shit whether I'm ready or not. So we're going to build the city bus and be done with it. And that's fine by me. But here's the compromise. If I have, and God knows I have no right to compromise. If I have to build my own RV, which is, you know, I'm just going to buy it $5,000. And then I'm just going to take everything out of this thing, the fridge, the furnace, the water heater, everything, the sink, the showers, the tubs. And I'm going to put it all in there and just pile it up, start selling off the seats, and then just start building from there. I mean, it's the last RV I'll ever have to buy. So, bingo. That's a plus. But as a compromise, I'm getting a Miata, and I'm going to try and sneak back onto the track, which I don't know. It may happen. I may actually get, you know, track time again one day. That'd be sweet, wouldn't it? I don't know. Sometimes I think I'm a little crazy, and sometimes I think I'm a genius, but most times there is a little bit of stupidity involved. I don't know. One thing that is, and like I said, I don't have segues. I mean, the next thing that's been on my mind is my own blackness. Like sometimes I forget. I literally forget that I'm black. I don't think about it very much. I think that may be part of my personality, is that I'm I don't care about what people think of me. And for that reason, I don't consider myself 24 hours a day. Oh, I'm black and this. No, I don't think of it that way. But there are people that do. And I don't know, it's kind of weird seeing people cross the street and you kind of know why. I mean, with women, with the women I see crossing the street, I get it. I 100% get it. When everybody wants you dead, you have to be very cautious. And as a black person in America, I understand the woman's desire to not take the chance. You could be a nice guy. You could be not nice guy. You could be a nice black guy. You could be a not nice black guy. I get it. But at the same time, I wish it didn't have to be like that. You know, and being black in this country is a problem. I have zero, I reiterate, zero doubts that one day me and people like me will be hunted down in the streets. I mean, zero doubt. They are saying that they will hunt us in the streets. Police officers are caught on camera. Political figures, private citizens are frequently caught saying on social media that they will hunt us down in the streets. And I don't have any reason not to believe that. I have zero reason. This is where this country was. It's only been since 1970 that all of this nonsense has been, the way we are currently living has been a thing. Before then, it was perfectly legal to hunt me down in the street because maybe somebody said that I might have looked at somebody the wrong way or went into the wrong store or did something that was just unappealing to a town, like walking on the sidewalk. That was a rule in this country. And I am maybe, fortunately, part of a dying breed of Americans who remember that time. My mother broke her arm and as a kid broke her arm and had to search through the night to find a hospital that would treat a Negro child with a broken arm, a little girl in Philadelphia, not Mississippi, not Tennessee, not Texas, not Georgia, not Alabama, Philadelphia. Middle of the night, an almost orphan girl had to find a hospital that would treat a Negro child. I grew up with this. I've been called nigger openly in the streets, where nobody was filming and nobody would film, and everybody else on the sidewalk just kept walking. And there was no social justice. There was no, YouTube. There was no TikTok. There was no news stories about it. The news could give a shit less. Oh, they called him a nigger? All right. And that was it. That was it. I asked this older white guy, I was late for school, and I asked this older white guy, I said, well, what, I'm sorry, sir, excuse me, what time is it? I wanted to see how late I was going to be that day. And I asked him again, excuse me, sir, what time is it? And he turned around with his thick horn-rimmed glasses in the middle of Long Branch, New Jersey, on Broadway, across the street from Newberry's, and said, get away from me, nigger.
This is not, I was a child. I was 11 or 12 years old. I didn't even understand racism at that point. Not even closely. That may have been my first openly racist encounter with anyone. Now that I think of it, I had plenty more since then. However, that was the first one, maybe. And that's kind of got me to thinking, you know, this is not an idea. One of my favorite lines from any movie was, and honestly, I don't remember the movie. He says, "You can kill me, but you can't kill an idea. The revolution will continue." That's a double-edged sword as a saying. That is 100% a double-edged sword, because these racist people, they don't see what they're doing is wrong, and they never will. You have as much chance of convincing them that what they're doing is wrong as you do as convincing me to join the Ku Klux Klan. This is not a frame of mind. This is not an idea. This is not a guess. This is not a notion. This is what their brains believe. They are wired to hate me. They are wired to hate my half Mexican kid. They are wired to help my all black kids, to hate my all black kids. You are not and will not ever change their mind. And that's how I can reliably say they will hunt me and my kids in the streets. And I don't have any reason not to believe that. None whatsoever. Why would I? Why would I? And that's why I kind of got to say that, and I'm saying this about racist people, and I'm trying to say it in the nicest way possible. This is a clinical issue. Clinical as mental retardation. You know, we as when I was a kid, we used the word retarded frequently. It was not in any way intended to insult any of our retarded friends, and we had tons of them. Because in the black community, we didn't say it as a slight towards the person. We said it because of the behavior of an individual. And yes, it was wrong, but we were children. Incorrectly using terminology. But having mentally retarded friends, you know, we never saw it as a thing. But understand that as clinical as mental retardation is, racism is the same. You will not cure mental retardation. It is a physical defect, a chemical, biological defect in the person's body that cannot be corrected with modern medicine. And that is exactly what racism is. This is a congenital, genetic predisposition for hating a group. And they, your choices are as follows. You can give them their own piece of land, and mark my words on this,
You can give them your own piece of their own piece of land, because that's what they want. They want all the niggers and the Jews and the Indians and the Irish. They want all of them off of their land. So primarily, the only thing you really can do is give them their own land. Secondary, your second choice is to kill them all off. Are you prepared to do that? Are you prepared to round up all the people with racist views? Do you think that's going to get them all? No, it's not going to get them all. Because a few will slip through, as they always do. And they will carry on as they did before. Hating the Jews, hating the niggers, hating the Asians, hating everybody except each other. You give them their own piece of land, they go away. You kill them all off, your soul goes away. And maybe there's a third choice. I can't think of it right now. But know that racism's not going anywhere. That is a pipe dream, as we used to call it when I was a kid. That is a fucking pipe dream to think that my people won't be hunted down in the streets. That America is going to be a free and fair country. There are slave masters on the money in your pocket. The banking system is built on the foundations and rules and regulations of slavery. So if you don't have any cash in your pocket, the fake money that's in your account, guess who owns it? Guess who's giving it to you? And guess what rules that are they're basing giving that money to you every 2 weeks, every week when you get paid? It's all based in slavery. And here lately, we're not smart enough to see that this slavery is beyond black at this point. This is a superiority problem. White supremacy has gone beyond the borders of black and white. White supremacy is on some new shit. It is about people who are either on their side or not, whomever they deem as being their equal or not. That's what this is about. This new slavery has nothing to do with black and white anymore. This new slavery is about keeping us fighting and bickering amongst ourselves while they claim the rest of the planet. You think I'm wrong? With one idea, I will prove my point. What is one of the problems that you have in your head, you may have in your head, that you hear on TV? Overpopulation, right? Overpopulation is a fallacy of monumental proportions. Because if you divvy up the world as of today, 8 billion people, probably a little bit more than that, they still get 4 or 5 acres of land per person. Now, just imagine for a second, as in an ideal world, if everything was fair and equal and perfect, and every person had their 4 or 5 acres of land, and everything was spread out, do you think we'd be having the problems that we're having right now? No, everybody would be too far apart to care. People would be farming their own land, growing their own food, working their own fields, eating with their own families, after a day of hard work for themselves. But instead, we're depending on Walmart for every meal. The problem isn't overpopulation. The problem, one of them, one of our many problems, is over-civilization. There is no reason for 8 million people, probably closer to 17 million people, living and working on the island of Manhattan. There's no reason for whatever the current population of the city of Los Angeles is, for all those people to be living this close together, especially in a country with the technological advances that we have that actually got proven during lockdown. And they want to make you forget. They're making you fight over other stuff so you forget that you don't have to drive to work. You don't have to have that reliable car with the payment attached. You could just get a regular car and have it paid for. You don't have to have those expensive work clothes. You don't have to have a commuter, a nightmare commuter day. I used to travel 2.5 hours a day from Long Branch, New Jersey to Newark. A nightmare travel every day. The problem is an overpopulation. The problem is over civilization. Why do we all live within a block of each other? Doesn't make any sense. Because there are people who would be just as happy living up in the cold ass mountains, which I would never ever want to do. And there's people like me that would be just as happy to live in hot ass Arizona. I'd be just okay. Happy as a punk in boys town. To live in the hot-ass desert, no problems at all. I love it. I have ice-cold blood running through my veins. I am always cold, and 110 degrees is fantastic. So there's somebody for every climate. There's people who live in the Andes. There's villages up in the Himalayas. And people are just as happy. So why can't we spread the fuck out? You know why? Because if we do, there goes the prison of the mind. The Matrix isn't some computer program, some field of bodies in pods. The Matrix is in your mind. Slavery is in your mind. That's where slavery is. You think, you know, all these grandiose ideas, you're going to be Neo and all this stuff, and somebody's going to be Morpheus. No, it's not what it's about. You're already there. You've been there. We've been there since the early 80s. And the fact that they're keeping you so busy is proof of that. Storming the Capitol, keeping your mind wrapped around this guy with a comb over, he's supposed to be your savior, but you read the Bible? I don't know, maybe I'm crazy. Did we talk about photography at all? No, we didn't. By the way, I don't have any segues. I did manage to get some portraits done on my day off, which is pretty awesome. I did a video interview. And every time I do something like that, every time I complete one of those things, I feel a little bit of success for being black in this country.
don't know. What do I know? I'm just a black guy from New Jersey, right? I don't have skinny jeans or a wool hat. I don't live in a Sprinter van. So what do I know? Thank you for tuning in. Let's talk about photography next time. Something a little bit lighter. You guys have an awesome week? Yeah, it's Sunday. No, Monday. Yeah, it's Monday. Have an awesome week, and I'll talk to you. Be safe.